This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
Those of you who are new, my name is Mario Slar. I'm the pastor here at Mosaic Church. Our church is almost 18 years old. First week of September. No, actually, next week is our first week. I mean, it's our birthday. We'll be 18 years old, which is, raise your hand if you were with us 18 years ago. Yes. So think of how old we were 18 years ago. What were we thinking? For those, I'll just do a quick, brief history. I was a campus pastor, and we had a large group. And Florida State was being a little sneaky, and they kicked us out of Moore Auditorium, and we needed Moore Auditorium. And so they put a classroom in there instead of allowing us, and there were some other Christian groups that couldn't use it. And the classroom had 20 people, and so we couldn't use it. So we had to move around, and we were nomadic for a long time. And then there was a church, an Assembly of God church that was right next to the football stadium, and we asked if we could borrow the church. And not only borrow it, but we would pay for it. We would give them $500 a month. We would take care of the utilities, and we would mow the lawn. And if we could use it on a Thursday night, and their sanctuary, and have our offices in a parsonage, detached parsonage, that they were just using for storage. And I'm not trying to disparage anybody. You know, there's a longer story to this, but they said no. And so... And so we ended up at a what I call a four-bay mechanics garage right off of Brevard Street, and we turned that into a meeting space. But we couldn't fit everybody in there so we bought a whole bunch of carpet squares, probably the size of this notebook, and as you came in, our college students would grab a carpet square, and they would sit on the floor because the concrete was so cold. Anybody remember Brevard? Yeah, so I'm telling the truth. However, Brevard, unbeknownst to us, is a dangerous part of town. And I literally saw drug dealings right outside of my office there. But what really kind of pushed us to maybe go back to this church and ask us is that we had the Florida State women's basketball coach come and speak. And she showed up like a few minutes late, and I forgot to tell her we don't have parking. And so she parked wherever she could. Next thing you know, her car's being towed. But that's not the main reason. The other main reason was that I had to leave like immediately after service. And I had to go down all the way to Woodward by the Catholic Church. And I literally almost got mugged. I was on the phone, and a van comes up, and they open the sliding door, and a bunch of guys are about to get me. And I'm on the phone. It's like, Robin, I'm on Brevard and Woodward, and call the cops, you know. And so nothing happened, but I thought to myself, this is not right. Because at that time, I would say about 66% of our Chi Alpha group were ladies, young ladies. And for them to park, we all had to park far away. And so I went back to the church, and I said, please let us have it. And after I begged and upped the amount, guess what they said? No. And so I had a friend of mine, Dick Schroeder. He's now with Jesus. I told him the story, and he literally, we went over to that church facility, and he marched it like the walls of Jericho. And I kept thinking, it's going to take more than marching around this place. But long story short, less than a year later, we were given, we didn't have to rent it, we were given the property. And so, and that's where the deal was, you get the property, but you have to start a campus church. So we started Mosaic Church that summer of 2007. Isn't that crazy? So that's the history of it. How we ended up here was that we outgrew the place, and the building was beautiful, but it was old, and it was poorly designed. Great materials, but the design, the roof was actually pushing out the walls. That's why we had pillars. And you guys wouldn't know this. Maybe Adam would remember, but that back corner, you can only put caulk so much. I mean, the walls, there was like 3 inches, 4 inches of caulk. The wall was about to fall, you know, push out. So we looked at this place, And by God's grace, the Lord found us this place. And we've been here since 2014, so which is a miracle. And how we got here is a total miracle. That's a different story. But let's give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Yes. And probably Adam and Kim were the ones that kept us from calling the church Journey, because I wanted to, you know, I love the band, and they kept saying no. I thought it was a great, great name, Journey. Faithfully, you know. Let's move on. So we are in the middle of a sermon series on the Beatitudes, and forgive me, I'm trying to get rid of this gum and not be like super gross. Anybody notice? Okay. So we are in the middle of the Beatitudes, and we are on verse 8. But let me read it from Matthew 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And I'm telling you, the Beatitudes changed my life. And I'm praying that it'll change your life. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And you have to go back a few weeks or see what these really mean. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And when I preached that message 3 weeks ago, I'm telling you, I was convicted. Lord, am I really thirsty and hungry for righteousness? And last week we did, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And I said, you can't give what you don't have. I really, really pondered on that as this whole week I've been traveling, and I'm like, Lord, help me to, Lord, fill me with your mercy. Help me to understand your mercy. Mercy is for those who are undeserving. And I was undeserving. A friend of mine, I do Zoom meetings every week, multiple times a week. And I used to have a picture of, I kind of made it really big in Facebook, a picture of Jesus walking on the water and helping Peter, you know, and basically you just see a water version, a view of Jesus coming down with his hand. And I used to have that in my backdrop, and somebody asked me, where is it? And I said, well, I don't know, but it's around here somewhere. I said, but that reminds me of what Jesus did for me. I was drowning in my sin, and he reached into my cesspool of water that I was drowning in, and he reaches in and he grabs me. So I just so understood a little bit of merciful. I was drowning because of my own selfishness, and it was self-induced rebellion, and then God, out of his mercy, reached down and was able to help me and come to know. So that's why I love that first song. I asked Bryce to sing it. You know, I was dead in this cesspool of my grave. I mean, I was dying. And that the concept of poverty of spirit is like, I have nothing to offer. It wasn't like, you know, I was gonna be picked on the all-star team for Jesus. So Jesus had to look for the dumpster for me. And he does for all of us. You just may not be aware of it. We're all lost. None of us are righteous. And so, blessed are the merciful, those who don't deserve it. And I did not deserve it, and you don't deserve it, but God has shown mercy. So if you recognize that you have this mercy being dumped into your heart and your soul, and then you begin to express mercy towards other. I shared the picture of that soldier in the movie that tried to do it. He tried to do something in his own power, but he couldn't do it. But those of us who are filled with God and love Jesus and following him, God just, you're like, you become aware of your, how much God has given you mercy, and then you begin to just share that and give that to others. And then we come to, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And I'm telling you, as I've been praying over this, I have been convicted and myself. So I just want you to know, when I preach a sermon, I'm always asking, Lord, what do you want me to learn first? And basically almost every time, whatever I'm challenging you with, I'm gonna be tested with as soon as we leave these doors. And so I'm aware of what I'm preaching. I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to us, and specifically to myself. I'm trying to be pretty vague in my story, what I'm about to tell you. It's a true story. It's a good friend of mine, and my good friend loved and loves Jesus. My good friend would go to church, not because she was trying to prove anything, that she literally loved the Lord. She has children, and she raised her children to also love the Lord. And she has a husband, and she was, you know, wants to continue to develop that relationship with the Lord. And she's been serving the Lord for a long, long time. She would not miss any church service. This is a true story I'm about to tell you, and it's pretty new, so that's why I'm being very vague. And but next thing you know, I get a call from a common friend that she had, our friend that I'm talking about, was arrested. I'm like, for what? One of the most godly people I know. And our common friend said, for stealing at her workplace. I go, how is that possible? So I did what I could do. I tried to go to visit, and they let me in. And I had, because clergy, they give you special privileges, and I was able to meet with her. Not, there was a big glass between us, but we got to see each other. And the thing that just shocked me and impacted me is that she really felt like, she goes, I was serving the Lord 99% at 100%. You know, 99 at 100 miles an hour. But there was that one little percent that she had not surrendered to Jesus. Reading the Bible, praying, church, worship, prayer meetings, everything. 99% of her life was for Jesus. But there was 1% that, this is her telling me this, and I wasn't, not projecting that onto her, she's telling me this, is that that 1% I was able to convince myself what I was doing was okay. So I sat across the glass window and I just tried to encourage her. Wasn't the best window, it was pretty thick and it was dirty. I wanted to see her eyes, I wanted to hear her. And you know, we just prayed and we wept together. So as I'm reading, blessed are those, with a pure heart, for they shall see God. It's a challenge for me, and hopefully for us, to really look at ourselves. To really look at ourselves. A few weeks ago, I talked about the Beatitudes are like going in an X-ray machine, and or you know a CAT scan or a scale. It's going to measure our health. It's going to really look into the dark crevices of our body. Anybody ever have an MRI? Yeah, I have, you know, forget what it was, my knees. And they found a little meniscus tear. You would not be able to see it. And so the Beatitudes is like an MRI. It's going to go really deep into your tissues, your spiritual tissues, and it's going to reveal if there's a tear. Blessed are those, the pure, who are pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Yesterday I was coming home, I was coming back to Tallahassee. I was in Sarasota, and I left right when this huge storm, I mean, it was just pounding Tampa Bay. And for the fun of it, I decided I want to go via the Skyway Bridge. Anybody been on Skyway Bridge? Yeah, I love the Skyway Bridge. I'm old school. I remember the old Skyway Bridge. And you needed to make things right before Jesus, before you went over that bridge. But man, it was pouring rain in my rental car that I had. The windshield wipers weren't that great. And man, I'm like trying to go as fast as possible. And, you know, and I know, I can't see it, but I know, you know, 200 feet is the ocean. And I'm trying to try to see clearly. And that's what this is about, is the Lord is going to help us to see clearly. Because when you don't see clearly, you can fool yourself like my friend did, or you can go places that you never wanted to go. Because people who see clearly and have a pure heart, guess what they shall see? They see God. So pure heart, what does it mean? It's not a ritual. It's not coming to church doesn't make you a pure in heart. Now, it helps, but it doesn't do that. I'm thinking of the psalmist that said, who can ascend the hill of the Lord? Remember, they're bringing the Ark of the Covenant, and all of a sudden they're like, oh no, you know, the presence of God, who can ascend the hill? And the answer is nobody can. Who has clean hands and a pure heart? And it reminds me of what Jesus is saying, and like, who can actually ascend and be in his presence? Those who have clean hands. Clean hands represents your activities, what you do. A pure heart, your motives. And if we're really honest, and we allow the Holy Spirit to MRI our souls, we realize, hey, it's not me. But thank you for Jesus, right? That's why we worship. It's not perfection. It's not those who are perfect will see God. It's those with a pure heart. So we're not looking for sinless perfection, but a heart that's not split between God and its idols. It's not 99 plus one. Psalm 86:11 says, give me an undivided heart that I might fear your name. There's an old preacher a long time ago. His name is Charles Spurgeon. Some of you might know his name. He says, when you have an impure, so what we know what it is by sometimes knowing what it's not, and an impure heart causes blindness. The windshield is dirty. Your mind is clouded to think that 99 is enough, and that 1% you can begin to just convince yourself that it's not a big deal. Like sin, our activities cloud our spiritual vision. We cannot see God clearly when our hearts are filled with idols. Now, before I move on, I want us to be encouraged today. I don't want to discourage you today. I want to say thank you for being here. I feel like you're placing yourself in the right posture. Okay, so I don't want you to come here and feel like you just got tongue lashing. But you're placing yourself in a right posture to receive God's grace and his mercy. You know, some things that blind us is lust. Lust can blind us to holiness. Pride. I could tell you stories of issues of pride in my heart where it blinds us to God's grace, or, you know, and I don't even know how you young folk do it. I can't believe I'm actually saying it like I'm not young. I should say, I don't know how we do it, all right? But the spirit of, or the sin of covetousness, and just, you know, the comparing of social media and watching people and looking at people, and that's so easy to fall into that. And all those little things begin to cloud our vision. We have an eye doctor in the house, and I imagine he sees that stuff that might cloud our vision. But these are things that cloud us from seeing and having that pure heart that, God wants us to have. So the question we have today is, what is clouding our hearts and our vision from seeing God clearly? My mom was with me. She's 90 years old, and she's probably not watching me this morning, but her short-term memory is shot. I mean, it's gone. Long-term memory is really good. And she has, as she's aged, I literally drove like 1,500 miles with her, so I got to spend a lot of time with her in the car. Something that really blessed me, especially knowing I was going to preach this message, there is a purity of heart in her. It was almost like she was a child. As we're driving, she goes, "Oh my goodness, look at those mountains. Look what God created." And it was like her heart could see, her spiritual heart could see God in creation. And I was convicted, like, how many times have I gone by through a beautiful creation made by God and not even think about it? I try to read scriptures with her, and she's, "Man, look how, this is wonderful scripture. You see God's hand in the history of the Israelites." And I was convicted again. Like, when you have pure hearts and clear eyes, you get to see God in creation, and you get to see God in his word. And as Lavella prayed, we talked, you know, life sometimes stinks, doesn't it? My friend Dick Schroeder, who I mentioned, his wife, quadriplegic, got hit, T-boned, on her way to go get milk and bread for her family. And something she said was that life stinks, but God's good. Mark, you were probably there with me, and Sue, we were in Colorado when she first said that. And then she says, "I could see God's hand, his providence in her life." And when you have a pure heart and clear vision, you see Christ. You see his handiwork in everywhere. And how we treat people. Remember we talked about last week, mercy is how we treat people. You see, wow, that's a person made in the image of Christ, image of God. And there's a purity about it. And I think that purity leads us to closeness and intimacy with God. And the more we are closer to the Lord, and the Lord, we ask the Lord to clear our vision and cleanse our hearts, I believe the closer we get to see him. Now, you can't do this yourself. You have to ask the Lord for divine help. Ask the Holy Spirit to regenerate, to clear us and regenerate our hearts. I haven't prayed this recently, because not that I don't want to, but I've probably forgotten. Lord, shine your light in the dark crevices of my heart. Shine your light there. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Ezekiel 36 says that he will give us a new heart. And the Holy Spirit is like a cleansing agent. And let me challenge us to give our lives to Jesus, not 99%. 100%. That's a hard, it's hard, isn't it? I've been married 37 years, and it's been blissful and perfect from day one. It's funny I say that, because it's not been. So love my wife, and I think she loves me. And so, but that's a challenge. The Lord brought my wife into my life to help me. Sometimes I can't see. My son, Mason, he's not here today, but I didn't know that after dinner, I had a big old black bean skin on one of my tooth. Lisa's laughing because he did a Zoom, a FaceTime with me, and unbeknownst to me, he captured the photo, and next thing you know, it's circulating through the family. And I said something about making fun of the prophet and bears or something like that. He did not think that was funny. But sometimes the Lord uses people to help us to see. And I can tell you, the Lord has used my wife to help me to see. Blessed are those with pure in heart, for they will see God. So that's our challenge this morning, is that we would have that uncompromised heart. This is what I love about Jesus. Jesus truly is sinless. There was nothing hypocritical about him. In John chapter 4, he says that his food, what he gains in nutrients, is to do the will of the Father. And then he finds himself, Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says, "Not my will, but your will be done." And I said this last time. When we say, "Not my will, your will be done," that means, "Lord, undo my will." And so even in these middle of these temptations, he wasn't, purity wasn't ripped out of him in these temptations, but in his obedience and his suffering and his opposition, it was made pure. So Christianity is not about, serving Jesus is not about striving harder to be pure. It's about trusting the one who was pure for us and said, "Lord, help me to be more like you. Help me to see things differently." The promise is this: they shall see God. And that's the ultimate blessing. We know the story in Moses. He begged to see his glory. In Revelation chapter 22, they will see his face. So it's not about giving up pleasures or we're not trading, but we're grasping a deeper understanding of who God is. So what are we to do? Well, let me encourage you. Let's just spend a moment and we're gonna ask the Lord to help us. Is there any, to step on that MRI scale, that machine, all of us, some of us have been on, and we're gonna say, "Lord, is there anything that we are not surrendering to you that's keeping our eyes from seeing clearly, keeping our eyes clouded? Lord, help us to always make sure our public life and private life are the same." The psalmist says in Psalm 27:4, "One thing I ask is to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord." So when you open your Bible and read it, I think Daniel and I talked about that today. I think sometimes we fail to read his word. We might listen to some podcasts in its place, and that's not wrong, but let me encourage you to read his word. And then you can see God, you can see him in the passages. And then we can say, "Lord, help us to align our hearts." And when you align your hearts to him, repentance comes quickly. It's not hard. So let's close our eyes for a moment. Bryce, if you could come. Our culture says, "Blessed are the rich, the popular, and the powerful." Jesus says, "Blessed are those with a clean, undivided, pure heart." So Lord, you are our model. We long to be like you. And Lord, give us an undivided heart. We're gonna play something in the background. Lord, I just pray, God, we're going to sit here in silence for a moment. We're going to just allow you to run that MRI machine over our hearts. Holy Spirit, come and just help us. Lord, we don't want to leave this place the same way we walked in. So, Lord, thank you for these beautiful souls that are in this room and those who are watching online. I pray, God, that our desire is to see you. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Well, that's our goal, is to see you and see you clearly. Lord, remove all those impurities. We repent, Lord, that we've been lured by whatever. So every eye closed and head bowed. And I do that not because I know that you're not ashamed. And just so you know, I'm raising my hand right now. You say, Pastor Mario, I could use some prayer. There's some areas in my life that I still need to surrender to him. That's you, just raise your hand. Yes, it's me too. Lord, help us. Blessed are the poor in spirit, right posture. Blessed are those who mourn, a clear understanding of who we are. Blessed are the meek and surrendering this attitude of independence. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, Lord, going to the right source for spiritual nourishment. Blessed are the merciful, understanding what you've done for us. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Lord, I pray that you would just make it true in our hearts. Let's go ahead and stand, and we're gonna sing this song and finish our time together. If you're a college student, we're gonna be praying for you. I know some of you starts up tomorrow. And I pray, God, that God will grow you in your faith. You're gonna be challenged, but you're not alone. The Lord is with you. And of course, we have a phenomenal campus ministry with Chi Alpha, great leaders, and with our international ministry as well. The Lord, I pray that you would align yourself with other believers and not do this alone. All right, let's go ahead and sing.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.